So welcome to our discussion of Yerushalayim and the significance in Tanakh and Jewish thought. In honor of Yom Yerushalayim coming up this Thursday, we hope to have a special program, 5:30, this Thursday. Our first encounter in Yerushalayim is with a city named Shalem. Some say that the city of Yerushalayim was named by Moshe, by Avram, as we'll see in a moment, and also by the earlier name Shalem, so Yeru Shalem. Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, took out bread and wine, and he was a Kohen to God, seemingly God, or the highest God. Maybe he was a pagan, but he believed in God as well. And he blessed Abraham, and he said he should be blessed to the great God who acquires heaven and earth. So it seems that the very first king of Jerusalem was also this holy person. So that gives us some sense that, you know, we're not alone in this world. Aside from Abraham, there were other people in this world who were inspired, who were Kohanim to God, and they lived in Jerusalem. So most appropriately, you know, the righteous people of the world, they're found in Jerusalem. His name was Malki Tzedek, the king of Tzedek. And it's strange because if you look in Yoshua, the king of Yerushalayim in Yoshua and Joshua, in the book of Joshua, is also a Tzedek person. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, it says that Tzedek Yalin Ba, that ideally righteousness is supposed to dwell in Jerusalem. Vatam Ratzchim, right now there are a lot of murderers, says Isaiah, but they're supposed to be a city of justice. So everyone who lived there was all about justice. Their name was justice. You know, as they say, my middle name is justice, you know. Their middle name was justice in Jerusalem. So it's the rabbi saying, Makom matzdiket yoshvav. It makes the people who live there righteous. Rabbi Bienenfeld of St. Louis once pointed out a beautiful thing, that the Anshei Yerushalayim, the people of Jerusalem, are generally very righteous as well. There may be some notable exceptions that we recently had in Gemara and Shabbos, some exceptions to that, but generally speaking, people of Yerushalayim were known for pietism. For instance, they would walk around on sukkahs with their lulav. Wherever they went with their lulav. People of Yerushalayim, it's a place that makes its people very righteous. So we have this idea that some of the earliest righteous people in the world, people who understand the ideas of Judaism, are found in Jerusalem, in Shalem. Of course, in Genesis, we have a verse which can be understood in other ways, but it is classically understood by Rashi in the following way. After the binding of Isaac, he called that place, God will see. That will be said on today, it's a mountain where God will be seen. Now you could say he's talking about that particular episode. God was seen there on that particular occasion. However, Rashi says, its real meaning, the Lord will choose and select for himself this place to make the Shekhinah reside in it and for sacrifice to be offered there. Notice Rashi saying two things. Number one, that the place of Mount Moriah is the place of the binding of Isaac. But number two, he's also saying that what is Yerushalayim? If Yerushalayim is going to be in this place where Avraham was, what is Yerushalayim going to be? The place of the residing of the Shekhinah. That, what does that mean? God is everywhere, but God's presence can be felt stronger in Yerushalayim. Tonight we'll talk about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, chapter 5, that talks about the idea that there were many miracles in Jerusalem every day in the temple and in Yerushalayim itself. For instance, nobody ever said it wasn't enough room in Yerushalayim. These little miracles help us feel that God's presence is there also, a place to be to offer sacrifices. Rambam says that the Beis HaMikdash is also a place where you come, where the tribes gather. So we'll talk about that later as well. And the Song of Splitting the Sea, there's also a notion that there's supposed to be one particular place. Plant us on your mountain, the place of your dwelling. So that's again, Jerusalem is the place of God's dwelling. Palat Hashem, that God created. Mikdash Hashem, God, you craft it with your own hands. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah claims that God will one day bring the temple down whole hog from Jerusalem, from heaven. We'll bring it right down and he'll plant it here on earth. So it's a machol neshivtecha. It's a place for God's dwelling. And God, that we ask God to plant us in that place. As it says in Amos, we recorded a few weeks ago, in the Haftorah, Untatim al ha'aretz, God, one day God will plant us in the land. Now the question is, are the Jews referring to being planted on the land of Israel? The mountain, meaning there's a ridge that runs through the middle of Jerusalem, middle of Israel, from Beersheba up through the Hermon, with a little break in the Jezreel Valley. But it's one big hill. So is that what he was referring to? Were the Jews at the splitting of the sea were referring to, or no? They were saying they want a mikdash, they want a holy place, and that's going to be planted in Israel. There's going to be one place that's planted in Israel. In Re'e, it couldn't be clearer. It's very clear that there will be a special place that God will choose. Now, Kol Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokechem, Shaken Shemo Sham, Shama Taviru Kol Asher Anochi Mitzvaechem Hayom. You can only bring the sacrifices that God will choose. So here we have another idea, that it's the place that God chose. It's the place that God selected and says, I choose that place. It doesn't say here that it's Jerusalem, but eventually, of course, that becomes clear, as we'll see later. Moshe and Bat Hanan also says he wants to go to that Har HaTov, that good mountain, and the Levanon, and the Lebanon. So again, could refer to the mountain ridge, which is central Israel. It goes up and down Israel. I used to live in Har Tzion, you know, where my yeshiva was in Israel. And that's the highest point in the ridge, the mountain ridge. Goes all the way from Beersheba, all the way up to the Jezreel Valley. So it could refer to that. But the rabbi is saying, Rashi quotes, didn't get the Rashi there, but Rashi quotes it that the good mountain is the Mount Moriah, and the Lebanon is not Lebanon, but rather the place that's Lavan, that makes our sins white, namely Jerusalem. That's what we say in benching. Why do we mention Jerusalem in benching? Because it says we should thank God for the good land. The good part of Israel is the Har HaTov, the good part, that's Jerusalem. And that's why we thank God for Jerusalem every day in our benching. In the brachas that Moshe gave, he also referred to something about Jerusalem. Moshe gave the blessing to every tribe. Vinyamin Amar, to Benjamin, he said, Yedid Hashem, he's beloved to God. Interesting, King Solomon is also known as Yedidya, the beloved of God, and he builds the temple. It's not from Benjamin, but it's in the territory of Benjamin. Yishkol Navetach Alav, God will dwell with security over Benjamin, because Benjamin's where the temple is. Chofef Alav Kol Yom, God hovers over Jerusalem forever. Uvink Tefav Shechen, dwells there. Rabbis say that it's really Judean territory, that Jerusalem, of course, is part of Judah. That's why David chose it. But there's a little ridge that comes out, a little flap that comes out through the Holy of Holies, that's where Benjamin has some territory. So it's a place of divine dwelling. But it's mentioned that there is a special place where God dwells, and that's Benjamin. All day means forever. The temple will be chosen forever. In the book of Kings, that was a little typo here, that in the book of Kings, Solomon quotes God speaking to David. We can't quote when in the book of Samuel when Nathan the prophet says what God said to David. It doesn't say about the choosing of Jerusalem, but listen to this. It's not clear, but listen to this. Blessed is God. Solomon's very moved by the idea of building a temple. Blessed is God who spoke to David, and he said, from the day that I took you out of Egypt, I never chose a city from all the cities of Israel to put my name on it, but I chose David from all the tribes. And it was in David's heart to build the temple for God of Israel. And Hashem said to David, since you had it in your heart, it's a good idea because it was in your heart. And you will not build it. Your son who comes from your loins, he will build it for my name. So it seems to say that God never chose a city. That's against our whole talk here. He's saying that he never chose a city. But we know from Ray that there is a place that God will choose. So the Abravanel explains. He says, from the day that he went out of Egypt, God never chose one city to tell them to build the base of Mikdash, but now he did. It doesn't say that in the book of Kings, but now God did choose it. He chose it right now to put his name there. And he says, look in Chronicles. So we look in Chronicles. Chronicles, you know, is a rerun. It tells a lot of the stories of Malachim and Shmuel are in Chronicles. It goes from Bereshit all the way to the end of the Torah. It's a review of the entire Torah. It's the last, in many collections, it's the last book. So it says, Baruchai b'Yerushalayim, in the same speech that Solomon is giving about God and about David, it says that God chose Jerusalem, Liyot Shemisham, to put my name there, Baruchai b'David, Liyot Amib, and I chose David. So I like to say there's a special covenant that God had with David and with Jerusalem. It's unlike anything else. Usually you have a covenant with the Jewish people. There's a special covenant, God with David, Solomon, Mashiach, and with Jerusalem. Jerusalem is really a reflection of God choosing David and the Messiah. Okay. It's interesting, Christianity, which is what makes such a big deal about Mashiach, it doesn't make a big deal about Jerusalem, from what I can tell. I don't know. It doesn't really do that. But in any event, but really they're connected. If you believe in the Messiah, Shiach is the one who's a child of David, and therefore it goes back to Jerusalem. Okay. The Rambam in Mordavuchim addresses a very interesting question, and that is, if Jerusalem is so important, why isn't it mentioned in the Chumash? It's mentioned Shalem, it's mentioned Yahar Yireh, we mentioned in the Binding of Isaac. We have references to it, but it doesn't say the word Yerushalayim. Could be it was called Shalem, then all right, so mention Shalem more. Only once you mention Shalem. We're always bragging that in the Quran, doesn't mention Jerusalem. But in the Tanakh, it's mentioned thousands of times. Okay, but that's in Tanakh, in Nach, in the Vim, Ketuvim, prophets, the scriptures, but in the Pentateuch, it doesn't mention Jerusalem. It, as I said, it many references, but it doesn't say Jerusalem. Why not? So the Rambam has three practical reasons. Very, very nice. What's number one? It always calls it the place God will choose. Why isn't it called Jerusalem? First, if the nations had learned that this place was to be the center of the highest religious truths, they would occupy it or fight about it in the most perseveringly. We find this today, right? That once upon a time, if you look at the Temple Mount in 1850, it was a little dusty. It was a little bit of disrepair up there. But all of a sudden, when the Jews came back in the 1880s and all, and in modern times, the Arabs, very holy, Al-Aqsa. I'm not saying the Arabs didn't always make a Hajj and a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is one of their holy cities. But a particular big deal about it when the Jews arrived. So when the Gentiles heard that the Jews were coming, they knew that Jerusalem was the main place, they would fight harder to hold on to it. In fact, it's interesting because they did fight hard. Joshua supposedly conquered it, says in the list there, but then David has to conquer it again. There's still Jebusites in Jerusalem. So it's a strange thing. It was hard to conquer, but the Rambam says it would have been harder. They knew that this was the main city for God. Secondly, those who were then in possession might destroy it and ruin it and place the place with all their might. You say, oh, nobody would do that. But we found the same thing in modern times, that when Jordan captured Jerusalem, they destroyed every synagogue they could get their hands on, so it wouldn't, you know, so it would be not Jewish forever. And of course, we recaptured it and rebuilt everything. Thirdly, and chiefly, every one of the 12 tribes would desire to have his place in its borders and under its control, right? We know the tribes are always fighting, right? It starts with Joseph and the brothers. So what's God going to say? He says, by the way, Jerusalem's the most important city. I'm giving it to Benjamin and I'll share it with Judah. Everybody else, you know, you can jump in the lake. Everyone will get very upset. It'll be a big fight. So he says, he didn't want to mention that. Therefore, it was commanded the temple should not be built before the election of a king who would order its erection and thus remove the cause of discord. The king would, he doesn't explain it. A king is necessarily appointed by all the people. It's true, God, Samuel, God anointed David, but, you know, you can't be a king unless you have acclamation. Kings are only there at the grace of the people. There's a social contract. So if somebody could decide to be king, then he can decide where the city is, and that's what happened with Jerusalem. So finally, you could have the decision, okay, Jerusalem is it. So that's three different reasons why Jerusalem is not mentioned in Chumash. Again, Tanakh is mentioned many times. So if we ask, what is Jerusalem? So what have we said so far? Who would like to tell us? What have we said so far? What is Jerusalem? The sources we've had so far.
Well, we've had Joshua in terms of the naming?
Joshua?
With Joshua. The verse,
Joshua. We had the Adoni Tzedek. It's right. A place of righteousness. That's what we quoted from Joshua. Yeah. It's a place of righteousness. Good.
Shalom. And the Yireh from the Chumash.
Right. So it's a place where God is seen. It's a place where there's righteousness. And it's a place of Shalem, also means Shalom, something like that. Right? Good. Anything else?
Well, in terms of the construction of the name, you mentioned that we have the Yeru and the Shalem.
Yes.
Why does it sound like a plural?
Oh, it could be upper city and lower city. Yushalayim, that's correct. There is a special special word in grammar for words that are double, like yadayim, or hands. Raglayim, is the ayim ending is the double ending. I forgot the technical grammatical expression. Maybe someone can look it up. But Yushalayim has that double ending. Could be that it's really shleim. Notice there's not usually a yud at the end. We pronounce it that way. It could be it's really yushleim. In the Aramaic, we always say b'yushleim. But we do say Yushalayim, and it could be because there was upper and lower city in later times. Could be. Very interesting. So good, let's leave it at that. Also a place for sacrifices, place of choosing, place of unity, place of David. Good. Let's continue. Now, that was the Rambam, and we move on. So what is Jerusalem? So, if you look at the Mishnah in Megillah, I'm sorry, this is Megillah. The Mishnah says, I think it's 12 or something like that. Ein ben Shiloh Yerushalayim. Shiloh was also chosen. For a while, for hundreds of years, Jews lived in Shiloh. And it could be that at that point, Joseph and Joshua and the northern tribes were chosen, Ephraim. And then later, David was chosen. So everyone had a chance. You know, the Rachel and Leah, they both had a chance for Jerusalem for a while. So, but what was the difference between Shiloh, where the temple was in the days of Eli, the days of Shob, the judges, and Jerusalem? Shiloh, ochlin kochin palim umayser sheni b'chol aroi, certain sacrifices that you eat outside the temple, but you can't go too far. You have to be b'chol aroi. You have to at least be able to see Shiloh. But in Jerusalem, ufnim nachom. In Jerusalem, if you have a sacrifice that's a minor sacrifice, meaning you don't have to eat in the temple, it's not eaten by the Kohanim, but it's eaten by the regular masses, like the Paschal lamb, you have to eat it inside the walls of Jerusalem. So what does that mean? What is Jerusalem?
A place where you eat the important sacrifices.
If you can eat a sacrifice, what is it? Where are you? If you can eat part of the sacrifice, not in the temple itself, but in Jerusalem as well, that means that Jerusalem is what? An extension of what?
Extension of the temple.
Yeah. It's the outer wall of the temple. When you're in Jerusalem, you're in the outer wall of the temple. So every time I walk in Yerushalayim, I try to remind myself, you are now in the, we're not able to go to the Temple Mount and the temple itself, but you're actually in the outer extension of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, some briskers, Rabbi Salvezik's family, they don't like to go to Jerusalem on the holidays because they think maybe we really, if we go there, maybe we'd have to bring the Paschal lamb, you know? So they try to stay out of the walls. But in any event, in Maaser Sheni, the second tithing, also you go there and you eat and you eat up a storm in Jerusalem, take all your fruit or the money from the fruit and you eat tons of stuff and you share with the poor in Jerusalem every year. So that also can only be done inside the walls. So it's a place of rejoicing, joy, and also a place of sacrifice because it's the outer wall of the temple itself. That's what it is. Good. In the Shir Shel Yom, today, it happens to be today's Shir Shel Yom, Monday, the Shir Shel Yom, Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, second day of Torah Shabbos, every day we say in Tehillim 48, God is very praised. It's a place that's so magnificent, it makes people praise God. Let's continue. It's so beautiful, you know, it's it's not just because the people build it up beautifully, but because it has mountains surrounding it, as it says elsewhere. The source called arts, it makes people happy. One reason it might make people happy is the midrash that when God made Adam, he took dust from the earth. Where did he get the earth from? So they say he took it from the Temple Mount. So it could be when you get to Jerusalem, you feel like you're going home. You know, you feel connected to your original self. That's why even Gentiles go to Jerusalem, makes them happy. So it makes everybody happy, all the Aretz. Har Tzion, it's a mountain of Zion. It's a different question. What is the word Zion? What does that imply? Tzion. Tzion generally is associated with it marks something. But we have to think about that. Excellence, maybe. Yarkitei Tzafon, it's in the north. Kiryat Melech Rab, it's also the dwelling place of the king. So that's an interesting point. The king of, you know, the king of kings, and also the earthly king dwells there as well. That's also one of the things that Jerusalem is. Because of its citadels, it's known to be a haven, a stronghold. The kings pass through. They see it, they are in wonderment. Nivhalu, they tremble. Nechpazu, they're panicked, terrified. Now, why are they terrified? So one idea is that they're terrified because of the presence of God. The other idea is that they came to attack Israel. Why are the kings coming? Are the kings coming to see Jerusalem? Like in the end of days, when the days of Solomon, kings came to hear Solomon's wisdom, Queen of Sheba, or they came to attack, as they often do, Samon and other places. Ezekiel, Chezkel, Zechariah. So it's not clear from the Psalm that whether they're coming to attack or they're coming to enjoy. But in any event, when they get there, they start to tremble. So it's a place of joy and a place of fear. So it's interesting. The rabbis say that in a place of joy, that's where you should have fear. You should rejoice in the place of fear. So it's interesting. You know, the temple is a place where you have the wildest party of the world of the year, the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, on Sukkot, where they dance like crazy in the temple. On the other hand, it's, you know, Gilu B'Ra'ah, you have to rejoice with trembling. It's a very awesome place. You take off your shoes. You're not allowed to bring your wallet. It's a very serious place. Some say that today our main job is not to build the temple, but just to have, not to go there. It's one place in the world where no one can go. Rabbi Ben-Nun suggested that when we conquered Jerusalem, we should have said, we don't want to build a temple. We don't want to take over your mosque. Just one thing. No one can go from here to there. No one walks. One place in the world, nobody walks. That would have been Mora Mikdash. That would have been to say that it's a holy place. Allah, God, everybody respects it as a holy place, and therefore no one walks there. We have, you know, Muslim guards, Jewish guards, guard it. This is a holy place. No one can go. It's one place in the world, no one can go. It's an interesting idea of Yoel Ben-Nun, the great rabbis in Israel for a Tanakh teacher. So it's a place of fear, a place of joy, and it's both. The Medrash Shocher Tov, in commenting on this verse, says, what do you mean, Yifei Nof? It's a beautiful vista. What does that mean? It makes people happy. Hakomia Pinla. Everybody says, oh, it's so beautiful. Hayofishla Loita Kamot. There was no beauty like it. And how did it make people happy? Made the whole world happy. What does that mean? Person would pass by and he felt depressed and is worrying, doeg. Libos Zachaleh, he felt bad. He's like depressed. Hayalech Yerushalayim. Go to Yerushalayim, Makriv Korban, bring a sacrifice. He cleanses his soul. All of a sudden he's happy. So it's through this, he wants to connect the joy to the sacrifice. You could say the presence of God. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that in the presence of God, there is joy. So when you're close to God, there's joy. When you feel connected to all the good things in the world, all things right, you feel good about yourself. Contrary, when you do the wrong thing, you feel bad about yourself. Tehillim 76, Noda B'Yehuda. There's a book called the Noda B'Yehuda. There's a famous Rabbi Landau who knows the Noda B'Yehuda. He gets it from Psalm 76. Noda B'Yehuda, Jerusalem is known in Judah because it's in Judah and Benjamin. Elohim Yisrael, Gadol Shmo, God is big. Vayhi B'Shalem Sukkot, God's Sukkah, God's resting place, God's abode is Shalem. It's in Shalem. Shalem, city of Shalem. And Mishnah Tov Etzion, and he leans on Zion. Zion's another name for Jerusalem. But Shalem, the Ibn Ezra wonders, why is it called Shalem? Ibn Ezra, Spanish commentator. So he says, Yushalayim, why is it called Shalem? I have the Hebrew and English here. Because it's Shlema. It's a place that's very complete. Keneged Shara Shamayim. It aligns with the gates of heaven. We should have quoted the verse of Jacob, where Jacob says, Zeh Shara Shamayim. Now, that's a whole complicated thing with Jacob. Why didn't I mention Jacob? It's just complicated. I never quite figured it out that he was in Beth El, but the ladder was in Jerusalem. Anyway, it's an interesting question, but he says that it's the gate of heaven. And that's what we say, that this is the gate of heaven, that Jerusalem is a place where you can connect more easily with God. Of course, you can connect anywhere. We connect through there. Solomon said we should turn to this place. God, if anyone is praying, a Jew who's in some fablunged place like Memphis or whatever, or if a Jew is lost in battle, you turn to Jerusalem and God should answer his prayers. So it's a place we turn to in prayer. It's a gate to heaven. It's a place worthy of peace. And here I think we have the following idea, that since it's the city of God, if the whole world will agree to God, there'll be peace. Like they say, democracies don't fight with each other. Also, countries that would believe in the true God wouldn't fight with each other. So they would ask the Rebbe what to do, and they would stop fighting. So it's a place of peace as well. A third possibility, says Ibn Ezra, Karua Kenal al derech tefillah. It's a prayer. Shalu Shalom Yishalayim. We hope it'll be Shalom. It's a place where we pray that there'll be Shalom. We have a mitzvah to always dirshu Shalom Yishalayim. We should always be looking into the peace of Jerusalem and praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Christians are very big into that as well, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Some of them. Yechezkel 45. In Yechezkel 45, it talks about that one day the city will have gates for every tribe. One day everything will be a little different, says Yechezkel, at the end of Yechezkel. And there'll be, tribes will be very even slats across Israel. And then Jerusalem will have a gate for every tribe. So for instance, this place at 400 feet, and et cetera, the gate of God, and the gate of Asher, and the gate of Naphtali. I don't want to take up too much space, so I didn't quote all the other verses, but you know, all the tribes have a gate. And Saviv Shmonasar Aleph, they have a certain measure of the city. Shema Yir Miyom Hashem Shama. The real name of the city in those days will be God is there. Let's dispense with any facade. We'll just be very clear about what the name of the place will be one day. God is there. Hashem Shama. That's what everyone will call it. The idea that, you know, one day 10 people will grab the coat of a Jew in Zechariah, it mentions this, and they'll say, take me to Jerusalem. Everyone will know. They want to go there. That's where God is. Again, God is everywhere, but God, we experience more there. There are more miracles, more present. You can feel God's presence more over there. Which relates to a debate in Yuma. The Talmud in Yuma debates, was Jerusalem, Yerushalayim nitchalka lishvatim or not? Was Jerusalem divided by tribes? In other words, was when they gave out different things to different people, different tribes, they say, okay, Jerusalem, that goes to Judah, this part of Jerusalem with the Temple Mount, that goes to Benjamin, and everyone else doesn't get it. Or we say, no, Jerusalem wasn't divided. Jerusalem is for everybody. So the idea that as we mentioned, that Judah and Benjamin share it, it's a beautiful idea, because don't forget, Judah saved Benjamin. So Judah kind of hugged Benjamin. So at the place where Judah hugged Benjamin, he saved him and he loved him, even though he had so much to lose, and Benjamin, you know, from the other tribes, from Rachel. That embrace of Judah and Benjamin, which was supposed to be David and Jonathan, or, you know, Saul and David. Anyway, Michal and David, but it didn't quite work out. That hugging of those two tribes, that's where Jerusalem is. So Jerusalem is a place of peace, because it's a place where Judah and Benjamin, who should have been fighting, like Judah and Joseph, there was great unity there. So it's a place of unity. So that idea we expressed already, that it was given to tribes. What's the idea that it was not given to tribes? So as we said in Yechezkel, one day everyone will have a gate. And there was a braita here in an outside source in Yuma, says, Imaskirim batim Yerushalayim. You can't rent a house in Jerusalem. Fish angel M. It's not your house. You can't sublet because it doesn't belong to you. Lezman Tzaragomer af lo mitot. Let's see. You can't even rent their a bed. You say, well, you know, they pay $50 a night. No. $3,000 a night. No. You can't do it because it's not yours. So then it's not nice. You come, you knock on the door, you say, hey, I'm staying the night. And you don't pay anything. So he says, I'll tell you what. So what happened was, let's say you came to Jerusalem. So you come to Jerusalem on Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. You got to bring a sacrifice. You bring a sacrifice, you get to have the skin. They give you the skin. So you take the skin and you sleep on it as like a, what do they call that? A sleeping bag. Then when you leave, you don't make your bed. You leave the skin, and then the fellow gets an extra skin. You can make something out of it. Make a rug. Make a canteen, whatever he wants to make out of it. He's got an extra skin. He can sell it. That's the tip you give to people when you spend the night in Jerusalem. But you don't have to pay rent at all. This doesn't belong to anybody. And as a matter of fact, the owner used to say, thank you very much. I'm keeping that skin. He wouldn't let you walk out with the skin. He would keep it. He says, by the way, you should always leave a tip. If you have a host, you should always leave them something. Give them a jug of wine to hide from a sacrificial lamb. Give them something. Okay. So that's that. That's in terms of dividing. So now if we make ourselves a little list, let's make a list. What have we said today? So Yerushalayim. How is it? Is it viewed? How is it special? So let's see what we've said. Who can tell us what we've said so far? So before Bruce mentioned Tzedek, it's a place of righteousness.
A place of Shechina.
My presence. Good. What else?
It's a... It's part of the, it's an extension of the temple itself.
Good. Good. What else? You mentioned in passing, it was in our sheets that people were created from its dust. Might be related to what? That's why it makes you feel happy. Maybe because of the above, or because of sacrifices, right? You get atonement. What else? Right. So it's a place of unity of all the different tribes. Maybe they share, everyone gets to share it. You know, it doesn't belong to anyone in particular. So did we leave anything out? What else? Attention to the temple. Joy. It's a place of great beauty as well. I think we should mention that. It's related to the joy. But it's also a place of great beauty, majesty, awe, right? In addition to joy, it's also a place of awe. You go, the kings come there, they're awed by Jerusalem, they're wowed by Jerusalem, the spirituality of it, etc.
And also, it's the pshat, I guess, would be that it's a place of peace.
Good. And that relates to unity, because it's and it relates to the word shalem, right? Unity, peace.
Also, shalem meaning the completeness.
Good, good. Shalem. And also, which the Ebenezer thought was related to what? The idea that it's aligned with the gates of heaven, right? The temple above. There's a temple above, Jerusalem above. We also should mention completeness. Yeah, the peace and the unity are related to each other. It makes its residence. People call that Jerusalem syndrome, right? They say people from out in Jerusalem. It has an effect, it has a spiritual effect on people. All right, did we cover everything? Let's see. What did we leave out? It's also a place that God chose. Which relates to Jerusalem, which is the king, right? It's a place that God chose. It's a reflection of the fact that God chose whom? That's what it's called in Devarim. We call it the place that God chooses. God chose it as part of what? Choosing. Again, the Rambam looked at it like, well, once you have a king, then you could have unity. You could have Jerusalem with unity rather than just, you know, fighting over it. But there's also the idea that when you have it, it shows that God chose that particular king.
It's a place of kings. The heavenly king and the earthly king.
Ah, good. That's a new one. Very good. A place of kings above, below. Yeah, we saw that in the verse in Tehillim 76. Let's take a look again. Saw that in the verse in Tehillim. Said that Vayhi b'shalem suko u'mishanto b'tzion. Is that where it was?
No, I think it was something different.
Well, we said the kings gather there. Malachim noadu ruachtav. Yeah, but we did see it somewhere else. Maybe it was in this Ibn Ezra. Let's see.
Ibn Ezra was more the completeness.
Yeah. No, we saw it somewhere else. Anyway, and then divine presence, that God is there, right? Divine presence relates to that name in Ezekiel, that God is there. All right, so I think that we have a good list. So it's a place of certain values. It reflects certain values. It reflects righteousness, peace, completeness, beauty, majesty. And of course, because it represents God. It has an impact on the people who live there. It's an extension of the temple, so it's going to be holier than that. When we say the divine presence, also a place of miracles. Based on Pirkei Avos, it's a place of small miracles happen there that help you see the presence of God there. Extension of the temple. It makes people happy, perhaps related to the fact that people came from its dust. Or maybe because of the sacrifices that you bring there, it makes you feel less guilty. It's both a place of happiness and also of awe. It's an unusual combination. Gilu berada, to tremble, rejoice with trembling. Peace and unity of the tribes. Focus for the whole world. The whole world. The whole world coming to Jerusalem to get Torah. It unites the Jews and it unites the whole world as well. So those are some thoughts about about Jerusalem and its significance. Can you tie it all together in one fell swoop?
I don't think so. A lot of those concepts are pretty independent.
Well, the joy and the awe is interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think in one word, it's where God is. It's where God is, therefore it's a place of all these values, all these feelings, all these dreams, all these prayers. But perhaps that sums it up best. But in any event, Yerushalayim has a long and storied history, going back to Avraham, going back perhaps to the creation of the world, and going into the future of a place where people will come from all over the world for peace and for atonement and the like. So I think we showed the value of Jerusalem, the idea of Jerusalem, throughout Tanakh and throughout some of the writings, and I hope that gives a bit bigger sense of what the celebration is on Thursday. It means that we're able to connect to this place where a person can go to a place where you can get the Jerusalem syndrome, where you can feel the righteousness, where you feel it's yours, that you have a part in it, because it's not given to any one tribe, according to some. It's a place where you can experience God. You can be in some ways in the outside courtyards of the temple itself. So being able to return to that place is very special. It's interesting. We celebrate that we have sovereignty over it, which is important, because one day we'll have to build the temple and we'll need sovereignty for that. But also that we were able to return to it. That for 17 years, Jews were precluded from coming to it. 17 years? No, doesn't sound right. 19 years. The Jews were precluded from coming to it, and because of the Jordanian rule, and we're able to return to it. That too is one of the great joys. All right. Any other questions, comments?
Rabbi.
Yes.
This is Elaine.
Yes.
I keep thinking about all the sacrifices that were made there, and God doesn't forget the sacrifices. What kind of impact would that have?
Well, the sacrifices were brought in the temple, which is part of Jerusalem. But some of the sacrifices could also be eaten outside Jerusalem. So we said that relates to the joy, because you rejoice when you eat the sacrifices. That relates to the joy because you feel atoned for, and then you feel like a burden is lifted from your shoulders. So that that plays part of that plays a role in what Yerushalayim is. But of course, today we can't bring the sacrifice anymore. But perhaps that joy could still come from feeling closer to God.
Great, thank you.